Which players are on the move, and what impact will that have on the teams involved? Jim Duquette will fill you in now in the On the Move podcast, presented by Penske.
Hey, everyone. Welcome into the On the Move podcast. Tim McMaster here along with Jim Duquette, and lots of moving pieces around baseball. Guys coming back from injuries, players getting injured, and all sorts of things going on with the Texas Rangers. So let's start there. We'll get into the repercussions of the melee on Sunday in a little bit, but let's start with some other moves. First of all, Matt Busch is certainly a fascinating player, a guy that at 30 years old finally gets up to the big leagues. Former first-round pick, high pick, overall first overall pick. Obviously had his off-the-field troubles, but now he's made it to the major leagues. And I think everybody's kind of, at this point, kind of hoping that this guy's got it turned around and gets things done in the field.
It's a story of determination and persistence, extra chances. I mean, he's had a couple of extra chances here. So this is probably the last chance, you know, and I think that you're encouraged by the support that Texas has given him and that he's been able to kind of get in his own personal life and to stay sober in particular. And I think overall, the talent is going to really dictate whether this story continues or not. He got called up there. He's got a real plus arm, plus fastball. And, you know, let's not forget, he's a conversion kid. So this is happening a little bit older. But he was a position player when he was drafted back in the day with the Padres back in 04, ahead of Justin Verlander, by the way. So, you know, I think that, you know, speaks to, you know, he's had the talent, but they certainly didn't know about the arm. And so, yeah, I think there a lot of people are kind of keeping an eye on that. We know the Rangers' bullpen has been inconsistent all season long. They're looking for a little bit of help, and they're hoping that he's going to get that opportunity. He certainly was thrust right into the middle of it over the weekend against the Blue Jays.
Yeah, he certainly was. He kind of was right there for that melee. Let's get into that before we move on with the Rangers, I guess, because it leads right into that. He's the player who was on the mound, hits Jose Bautista late in that game, and then Bautista, the hard slide into second on Rougned Odor, and the rest is, you know, benches clear, players ejected, I'm sure suspensions to come. So the question is, as far as on the move goes, is how do, first of all, the Rangers cope with a suspension or multiple suspensions? But you would assume Odor will be out for some time eventually once we go through the appeal process and everything. How do they fill that hole?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult to do. They have Jerickson Profar in their system. Maybe he comes back and has the opportunity. He's been getting his at-bats in the minor leagues. It's not an easy thing because Odor is a talented player and one of the best, probably going to be on the All-Star team in some capacity. He's been one of their best players and really one of the best players in the league. So, yeah, the fact that that happens is unfortunate. You know what he's been for the Rangers in that offense. And, you know, they can't afford to have too many other guys go out. I mean, obviously, Chu's been out as well. So, yeah, it's going to be, again, wading through the appeals process. It's going to take a while before we know for sure how long he's going to be out. And maybe that'll be whole. I mean, they do have Ian Desmond, too, that could play the infield potentially when Chu comes back. And maybe that's a way that you get Desmond some more at-bats.
Chu is working his way back in the rehab stint. He's going to come back, but DeShields now has been sent down as well. And for DeShields, here's a guy who obviously is a Rule 5 guy a year ago, burst onto the scene, won that job, and I think surprised everyone. And maybe now it's kind of been a regression to the point where maybe teams thought this is what they would get. But the Rangers sent Odor down a year ago to AAA, and it had a huge effect on him. Could DeShields get a similar benefit from getting some AAA at-bats?
You know, I think so, and I think that's what the Rangers hope is. You know, they, like you said, had success. They could point to that last year. And, you know, DeShields is a guy that I think put too much pressure on himself to keep that job. You know, last year he had to stay in the big leagues because of the Rule 5 selection, as you mentioned. So now he comes in here, you're looking for him to do something the same. Jeff Banister did all he could to take that pressure off him. He went to him in spring training, hey, listen, you're my guy, you know, and so that he didn't press. But, you know, as human nature sometimes has it, you know, that second time through the division and through the league, you have to make adjustments. And, you know, that didn't happen for him, unfortunately. So you go down to the minor leagues, get himself on track, hopefully, and, you know, get back. I think he's a talented player. There's no doubt about it. And I do think it also frees up, you know, some playing time issues when Chu comes back, because obviously Desmond has played very well. Mazzara has gotten himself off to a good start.
I was going to say, Mazzara's kind of, you weren't sure what would happen. Obviously, he gets thrown in when Chu gets injured. He got off to the tremendous immediate start, but he's kind of proven himself, right? I mean, he's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere. You know, again, the Rangers feel like he's, you know, for real, going to spend the entire year here. They do have the flexibility to send him down if he struggles, but right now he's not showing any signs of that. As a matter of fact, he's got the nice, real short swing. It's hard to pitch to him, and he's got power potential, speed. I mean, he gives you the entire package, a real talented kid. So I would not expect, at least at this point, that he's going to be a guy they end up sending out.
Pitching-wise, the Rangers at this point, you look at that rotation, it's kind of four guys with Hamels, Perez, Lewis, and Holland. But players coming back on the way. Yu Darvish is in the rehab process. We'd love to see him back. Obviously, he's going to get back at some point. It will be a huge lift. They also signed Kyle Loesch to a minor league deal, 37 years old. What does he have left in the tank?
Well, it's hard to know for sure. A lot of teams that were interested in him, he was looking for a starting spot. And, you know, I don't know if there's going to be one there in Texas or not. I think they're looking for rotation depth. So, you know, and it's maybe a little bit of protection if they have to bump Darvish back a little bit. But Darvish, the rehab assignment's gone very well so far. It sounds like he's passing all of their hurdles. And, you know, if everything goes well, boy, they add a huge piece to their rotation there at the end of this month. So I'm not convinced that Loesch is going to help them long term. I do think, though, what Texas has done is, you know, you have to plan for every scenario, right? And the rotation is one area that, you know, you do go through a number of different pitchers, and they may decide that he can help them from start to start. Who knows? Maybe he gives them some bullpen help as well. We've seen, you know, starters at the end of their career go into the bullpen and be successful.
We mentioned the Rangers and how they'll survive a eventual suspension to Rougned Odor. How about the other side of that melee? Because I think Jose Bautista is going to get something, maybe not as long as Odor, because Odor connected on the punch and Bautista was on the other end of that. But are the Blue Jays in a decent spot to survive a little stretch without him?
Well, you know, if he gets suspended, then, you know, I think that they'd have on paper a lot of offense of potential. Their offense has really struggled, so especially Russell Martin and Troy Tulowitzki. So I'm not so sure with the struggles that they've had that they could withstand a Bautista suspension of a long period. But if it's only a couple of days or a game, then I think they could handle it. So, you know, we'll wait and see if he gets it or not. I think when you're part of a bench clearing incident, that type of incident there, there's a tendency to see him get a couple games also.
Staying in that division in the American League West, what a tough start it's been to the season for the Angels. There's always seems to be one team that really gets slammed hard by injuries, and the Angels have certainly done that. Garrett Richards, done. Andrew Haney, done. To the point where you look at this team now, Andrelton Simmons now out at shortstop. You look at this team and you see the start they get off to and you see what's there, and you really, it's hard to think of this team as a team that's going to be able to bounce back. So with all those injuries, they do go out, maybe a desperation move to bring in Chacin from the Braves, but they make that trade at least adding a little depth.
They have to add a little depth, and they're in the mix potentially for Tim Lincecum out there as well. And, you know, they definitely need rotation help. And, you know, some of these injuries were devastating enough where they're not going to have anyone coming back or returning. So, yeah, I think that aspect of it is concerning. And I think if you're the Angels, what you're trying to do is bring in as much talent as you can, that if you are a seller at the deadline, that maybe you can get a couple pieces to fill in your organization for the long term for you know, prospects, mid-level prospects, any type of talent that can help you and have them under control. So I think that's the interesting aspect of it, that the moves for the Angels and Billy Upler right now is, what do they bring in? Who is it? How much can they help you go short term and around the deadline if they start to fall out of this thing? By the way, they bounced back nicely over the weekend, yeah, beating up on the Mariners on the road, which is not an easy task.
When you look at that team, you see the start, and there's the whispers like, could they trade Mike Trout? Is that a possibility of trading Mike Trout? No, probably not. But there are some other pieces, right? A guy like Yunel Escobar could be a guy that gets moved if they end up staying out of contention.
Escobar is probably the most valuable there. When Houston Street comes back, he'll be another guy that there would be interest. Joe Smith, you know, guys like that would have, there would be plenty of interest out there on the trade market. So, you know, I don't think Santiago's a guy that they would move because they still have him under control. But I think those are the names that you'll see. And for me, if the Angels decide to make a deal or deals, it's more of the reset button. They're not going to rebuild next in 2017. They have too much money tied up in Trout and Pujols and some of the other guys. There'll be plenty of interest, by the way, in Cole Calhoun, too, but I don't see them moving him either.
This is the On the Move podcast presented by Penske. Let's move on to some other injuries over the last week or so and some real key ones. Let's start with the Yankees and Luis Severino. Here's a guy that came in last year when they called him up and I think did what the team hoped he would eventually be. He really stepped in and became almost the top of the rotation type pitcher for that team, but he comes out this year and he had really struggled. 0-6, the ERA over 7, and now he's headed to the disabled list. Do you think, was there any connection there, the slow start and the injury, or two completely separate?
You know, I talked to Brian Cashman today about it, just to get his opinion on it. He didn't think so. He thought this was something that, you know, that he got out of sync mechanically and then he lost his confidence and then all of a sudden the elbow started barking. The good news is they had an MRI and a CAT scan done. There's no damage there. Came back negative. Mild tricep strain and tendonitis. So the hope is, you know, he lost command of the breaking stuff. So maybe there was something going on that he didn't feel beforehand. That's usually the sign without the off-speed stuff to feel for it. So, you know, they're hoping that he comes back healthy and once they do that you know, he can be a big part of the rotation. They expected him to be, and he's really disappointed them so far.
Yeah, and a big reason they're off to a tough start is because he needed to be one of those guys, and so far hasn't been. But, you know, it's not too late at this point if he can come back. Similar situation from a relief standpoint. Brett Cecil, tricep strain, goes on the 15-day DL for that Blue Jays team. But he had been a guy who, before the injury, went from kind of one of those late-inning full inning roles to becoming a lefty specialist. Now he goes on the DL. Cecil fascinates me every year because it seems like he sets up the expectations to be high. He was so good late last year. And a year ago, they thought he'd be the closer. He lost that job before having a great second half. And now this year, a similar thing. He comes out and he struggled. What is it about Brett Cecil early in seasons?
Yeah, it's a good question because he had that streak of a scoreless streak that went from right about when he lost his job as closer all the way until through the season, through the end of last year. And then he got off to the slow start again. He does have some extra movement in his delivery and some inconsistencies there. And I think, you know, maybe he was feeling some things, you know, in the arm, you know, early part of the season, why he's been inconsistent here lately. But they need him to get back on track. The bullpen hasn't been very good. Gavin Floyd stepped into that role, late inning role, former starter. And, you know, John Gibbons said recently that he's pleased with the way he's handled that role. So right now, I think they'll ride that out and hope that Drew Storen gets himself on track too.
Some key injuries in the American League Central, starting with the defending champs. We'll go there with the Royals and that pitching rotation. Chris Young, Chris Medlin, both injured. They've gotten a lift from other places, but how long can they go with a short rotation?
Boy, they don't have an awful lot of depth there, and I think that's the concern overall. They've really kind of tapped out those two guys in particular, and neither one was very good, but. I think this is a team right now struggling in all facets, mostly in the starting rotation, also on the offensive route. You and I had a chance to see them, against the Yankees and getting beat 3 out of 4. Yeah. Yankees were struggling, but still, the Royals have really struggled, and people around the club feel they don't have that same edge that they had the last two seasons and looking to try to get it back.
Ian Kennedy had been a big lift. He wasn't great in the series against the Yankees, but a move in the offseason that some people criticized, but he had almost been a savior early in the season, but a tough start for him in the Bronx as well. All right, one more injury in the Central that I wanted your take on is Michael Brantley. He goes to the DL. He was on the DL earlier. Did he rush himself back a little bit?
It seems like they did. Listen, it's a tough spot for the organization because you're going off of the player and off of his symptoms and what he's telling you, right? So you're seeing a little bit of all those things, and you see him making progress. And maybe they did push him a little bit too much, but it was all based off of how he was feeling and the symptoms. Well, now the body has a way of telling you, hey, you got to slow down. You went too fast, and that's what I think is happening here with Michael. They don't think it's anything to be concerned about, but because it was with the surgically repaired shoulder, they had to back him off, and that's what they're doing. It's the right thing, and you know, hopefully this is not a longer term disabled list stint, and they get him back because the Indians really need that offensive weapon.
All right, let's swing the mood a little bit from guys going away on the move to guys coming back from injuries, a little happier news. And Miguel Montero coming back to the Cubs, as if the Cubs weren't good enough early this season to get your main catcher back.
It's nice to get some production behind home plate again. You know, that's the one, they did a nice job kind of piecing it together, but he's their main guy, and you add the balance to, left-handed bat to that lineup already. You know, Jed Hoyer told me recently that, they have an unbelievable offense, as we've seen. But they also have some guys who haven't really produced. Montero is on the disabled list. Hayward has gotten off to a slow start. So, and those are guys that are going to hit. So it's a little scary to think that there's more offensive weapons left for that team.
A team that needs a lift all around is the Houston Astros. So many expectations coming into the year, and it's been a tough go so far. They recall Tony Kemp up. Not sure where he fits in. He can kind of play everywhere, a little guy, almost like another Jose Altuve. And they're also going to get Gattis back. Gattis had been down in the minors. It seems to have revived him a little bit. He hit great in AAA. So how did those two additions kind of fit into this Astros lineup where they've been struggling?
They need offensive production. So I think Gattis, what A.J. Hinch said to me the other day was he likes to have that flexibility in the DH spot. So Gattis can fill in behind home plate as well, give you some versatility with Castro. And Kemp will give you some speed and some energy. He's like a Tony Womack back in the day, could play infield and outfield. I think they're going to play him more in the outfield. They sent out Preston Tucker. So, I think that Kemp, they're looking for a little bit of, energy, speed, that type of thing adds to your ball club. And that's what the Astros could use right now to see if they can jumpstart the offense.
Will he take any time away from Carlos Gomez, considering how much Gomez has struggled, or you can't afford to rest Gomez?
I don't know. It's a good question. I think they're hoping that Gomez is going to figure it out.
Yep.
So I don't get that sense, but I do think that AJ is going to be more judicious in his rotation. And he does a good job of dividing up the at-bats. And so, when you add that, maybe it allows you to move Altuve down in the lineup a little bit. He's been very, very productive. So you could, in theory, put Kemp at the top. We'll see what he ends up deciding, what he has up his sleeve there. But I do think that, he gives you that speed element that help generate some runs that not every team has.
Some important pitchers making their way back through the rehab process. Let's go to the Dodgers, and they need something behind Clayton Kershaw. That's been clear. They're at the top of that division, but they certainly haven't separated themselves. The Giants right there as well. Getting Hyunjin Ryu back in the near future, how much of a lift can that give the
Dodgers? That'd be a huge, huge rotation lift if he comes back and pitches anywhere near what he was before the injury. Now, he's a top, let's say mid-rotation type starter, lefty. So they're hopeful. He's delayed his arrival. They thought he might be ready for opening day. They pushed it out. Again, hopeful that he comes back. If he does, that's a huge lift, and it probably allows them to put Stripling down in AAA for a little bit. It also buys them time so they don't have to go with Urias in the rotation. They can put him in the bullpen if they would like, which there's been talk about, or keep him down in the minor leagues and protect the innings. So that gives them a lot of versatility if Ryu can make it back.
The Rays lost Brad Boxberger in spring training. Alex Colome has done a tremendous job filling in as far as that closer role goes, but depth-wise in that bullpen, to get Boxberger back, to be able to move Colome back, that's going to be a help to him. A Rays team that needs to find something here, although their needs are more desperate on the other side of the baseball with the offense.
Right. Their needs on the offense, and I think that, if you're not going to score the offense, you can at least try to go with a run prevention. Their mm-hmm. starting rotation's good. And, if you move Colome to the eighth inning, he was good, very good, in fact, in the eighth inning last year for the Rays. So you get him back to his spot and you bring Boxberger back. We know how good he is as a closer, 40 saves last year. So, yeah, I think that the offense will eventually they'll get a little bit of an uptick there from them. And in the meantime, bolstering that bullpen can't hurt for Kevin Cash.
We talked a little earlier about guys that could be on the move, and some teams may be willing to pull the trigger on a trade earlier in the season than others. And I would think if there's a team that won't necessarily wait till July, it's the Milwaukee Brewers. The trade rumors around Jonathan Lucroy have been swirling for, a year?
Yeah, well over a year, yeah.
You've talked about Ryan Braun being a possible piece. Chris Carter has shown what Chris Carter can do when he's hot. I think 11 home runs heading into the week. They have a whole bunch of possible pieces, right? The Brewers, who have already made a lot of moves to reinvigorate that minor league system, there's a lot more they can do.
Yeah, there is. And you know, they're going to be active. Their system is pretty stocked from some trades from last year, but they're going to continue that model. They've been very clear from ownership on down that this is a rebuild situation. And so, yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, Braun, you know, because of the years left in his contract, it's going to be a little trickier, but he's off to a really good start, middle of the lineup bat that can help a lot of different teams. Luke Kroy seems to be a perfect fit in Houston. You know, let's see if Gattis can help boost that there. But, you know, even Texas would be a good spot. You know, you kind of go down that road. Carter, you know, because he's a power-hitting guy, you could probably look at him in some American League teams. So, yeah, I expect them. They're going to be a team that's, well, they're already being scouted heavily. It's a team that you're going to see them make a couple moves here as we get closer to July.
All right, let's finish things up on this podcast with Tim Lincecum. He's done the tryout thing. He's kind of admitted that he's probably going to be a reliever and not a starter. So we have to be getting to that point where teams are going to jump in and make that move for Tim Lincecum. So what teams make the most sense, and do teams not on the West Coast have any chance?
Well, it seemed like, you know, the Giants had the right thought and were going to look at him in the bullpen, and yeah, and they know him the best. And so they were, you know, in the mix. I think they could be in the mix. They know him the best. You know, after that, I think I talked to a couple GMs recently. They felt he's going to sign west of the Mississippi, any team right west of the Mississippi. So, you know, the White Sox certainly are a team you go, would he fit there? You know, it's not quite that that model, but pretty close. Why not there, you know, in the bullpen? There's a couple of teams I think that he could fit. I think he also is trying to just make sure he gets reps and gets – so the Angels could be a spot, you know, if he really, really wants to start. But I think he also wants to go to a winner, a team that has a chance to win this year. So, I don't know. It's hard to know. Seattle's pulled out of it. San Diego's pulled out of it. Arizona, it sounds like they're out. I'm not quite sure where he's going to end up, but it certainly sounds like it's going to come to a head here soon. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes back as a Giant.
I guess one thing you have to get into is getting inside his head, is what his idea is going forward. Does he want to go somewhere, prove himself, and next year have a better opportunity? Or is he just trying to keep this career going?
It's hard to know. Yeah, it's hard to know because I think his agent, you know, ideally he wanted to go out as a starter in the industry. He's kind of telling them they don't look at him that way. So, you know, I think if there was a team that you could have him start for, then that's where you'd take him. Apparently, that doesn't seem to be the case right now. So he's had to kind of change his mindset. And I think it's the right thing. Listen, you can be a very effective reliever, and eventually he could be a closer if he really puts his mind to it. So I wouldn't rule that out either. You know, it's just right now it's going to be about I think it's more about the opportunity, you know, and that's where he's going to end up signing.
This has been the On the Move podcast presented by Penske. For Jim Duquette, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.